I have a special guest on the line, Liz Strohmeyer. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, Liz, for the
first
time. Okay. I forgot to ask you that before. Liz is a CSA farmer in, I think, the Clover Valley area near Two Harbors, and first time on the station. So thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me join.
Absolutely. Let's start by just sharing, you own a CSA. I suspect you've been gardening or farming long before that. Do you want to just share your history of your relationship with the soil and how you got to the place you are today?
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, well, like I said, thanks for having me on the show. So we have, which is kind of halfway between Duluth and Clover Valley area. For the people who live in Clover Valley, they'll say I'm not in Clover Valley. For the people that don't live in Clover Valley, they'll say I do. So we, it's always fun being the new kid in town.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get out of the city, and we were really interested in more of a self-sustainable lifestyle. So, you know, we started with a big garden. My wife said, oh, sure, let's do a garden, like, as long as you kind of know what you're doing. And I'm like, I don't have a clue, so let's just try it out. But usually when I do projects, they're not small feats. So I said, oh, I just want to make a few raised beds. And then that turned into like 16 of them. So, and that was just for us.
The way it goes.
We just kind of like, yeah, we just sort of jumped in. And I did just as much research as I could, trying to figure out, you know, like, how do you grow this and when do you start this? And I started really getting into, like, saving my own seeds and growing a lot of different heirloom or open pollinated varieties. And then I started getting really, really interested in soil health and just kind of like this, the idea of having living soil instead of just this inert growing medium. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, I mean, I've gone through a series of very, you know, like stressful 60-plus hour work week type jobs.
Yeah.
And then, and we started having a, you know, we decided we were going to start having a family and have children. And, you know, we wanted to live out in the country to kind of slow things down and not speed them up. And it just felt like things are going really fast in our life. And I also have, or like, food sovereignty. And the time I was working with folks in Duluth that were either homeless or had significant mental health and had a really hard time with getting just like basic food access. And so that was, so like my passion sort of merged and I just said, hey, you know, this would be awesome to be able to support folks like in a sustainable way in our community by providing local food that we grow on our farm. We start the seeds on our farm. We're not importing this stuff. I mean, it's really cool. So that's what sparked the idea of the CSA. And by all means, most farmers would say start small and, you know, learn and go through the ropes. And then, of course, I do the opposite. So I just jump in with the CSA when I should have probably started as like a market farmer and said, oh, I'll just do a farmer's market first so I can get, you know, an idea. But I was already playing around with succession planting and, you know, how, you know, instead of planting beans once in the season, can I plant them 3 or 4 times in a season? And like, how can I extend my harvest while using kind of the natural environment instead of, you know, green. So I was around a lot, and then I decided last year we would start a CSA, and my wife was very smart and told me to cap the membership so I didn't overwhelm myself. So we started with 10 members, and that allowed me to just see, like, okay, do I like to do this? Can I do this? Is this feasible without greenhouses and high tunnels? How long can I go to put my season out there for? And then I just felt like, despite the crazy drought we had last year, our garden was really successful. I contribute a lot of that to just our growing practices in general. But then we decided to really open it up this year. And now we have, this year alone, I think we have like 36 members now. And next year,
whoa,
we'll probably look into, yeah, now we're looking to increase it. And and it's awesome because most of our members are actually just like in our area. They're not coming from all over the place. So it's kind of cool to see that there's so many local people that are interested in having local food. And a lot of our folks are, you know, maybe they do a small garden and they really love tomatoes, so they grow a few extra tomato plants or that kind of thing, but they still do getting produce, or maybe they're not able to physically or don't have time to be able to have like a full-blown garden, but they still want to support the local food system. So I think that's been really, really awesome for us to see.
Yeah. Wow. It just sounds like you say, you have like gone full bore ahead, and that's an amazing story. I'm sure you're finding out how incredibly different it can be year to year. How is this year going? And like, what kind of vegetables do you have? I know it's been kind of a late year for most farmers.
Yeah. So the last 2 years were interesting years to start out being like more of a commercial farmer. So I think, you know, very drastic difference. You know, last year we had a significant drought. This year, it's not a shortage of water, but a very cold, wet spring. And biologically, it felt like we were very behind. You know, we were seeing bloom sets really late in the spring on apple trees and things like that. You know, for us though, aside from being able to get, you know, I had to wait a little while to get a few things in the ground just because of the soil temps. They were just not warm enough to be able to germinate some of the, you know, kind of spring crop seeds. But despite that, I think we've had a pretty good growing season. You know, this spring has lent itself to really well to like our coal crops and things like that because they love the colder weather.
Right.
And the germination has been good for us this year because of the wet spring. It's been nice not having to, you know, water and things like that. But we also, you know, and every farmer is different, and how their farming system is just completely different from farm to farm. And for us, we do no-till practices, and we have slightly raised beds. So the advantage to that is that there is a lot of organic medium in our soil. And we mix that in with some of our top, we have clay, we're all on heavy clay. And so the clay will hold the moisture. And because the beds are raised up a little bit, they're out of that moisture. So if we get, you know, it doesn't completely saturate my bed and you like destroy a germination crop or something like that. So it's been good for us, actually. The spring has actually been pretty good for us, where I know some farmers that have been really struggling because, you know, they can't get the tractor out the till, or it's been so wet and muddy that it's been standing water where their beds are, or something like that. You know, and then in reverse, when we have a drought like last year, because the clay holds so much moisture, it actually, like, we didn't have to water as much as I thought we needed to last year because of that. And we also use a lot of natural mulch too, so that helps retain the moisture. So it's kind of that combination that I think has been really beneficial for us.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have a really good handle on how to work with your soil where it's at. I know we've heard a lot about the clay. And so just in general, how did you find your soil when you first began to work with it? Like, was it depleted from what had happened previous, or do you find you have good soil, or are you needing to build it up? Sounds like you have mulch and other things and raised beds. Like, that's a lot of work. I was just weeding at a friend's farm the other day, and I'm like, okay, how are the weeds?
Oh, yeah. No, the weeds have been crazy this year. So we have two different growing systems because when we started our own personal garden, like I said, we went a little bonkers. I built 16 4x12 raised beds that were 2 feet tall. And so it's a beautiful space.
I bet.
But it doesn't lend itself to like veggie production on a larger scale for other people. But so we use that space in conjunction with like an in-ground garden now for the market and for the CSA. But that's how we started. So I kind of learned how to grow in tight plant spacing in raised beds. And we had to haul in that soil, and that was just right over the way, right? So that's how I learned. And then when I switched, I had to kind of relearn, like, how do I garden in the ground now? Because this is completely different. So I did some soil samples, and, you know, clay is, well, it was, like, completely depleted in nitrogen, but there's, like, nothing there that, you know, like, nothing wanted to grow except for, like, you know, all of those perennial weeds that you don't really want in your garden. So what we ended up doing is I did an initial soft till, which means I tilled like maybe 3 inches or 4 inches that topsoil. I didn't want to go any deeper because the deeper I went, the heavier the clay got. I mean, you could spin pots with the clay on our land, and which is likely the scenario in a lot of places around here. But the top 3 or 4 inches was, you know, like clay mixed in with kind of a topsoil. So it was like a very red topsoil. So I tilled that over once, and then I solarized it to let the weeds die, or most as much as we could. And then we hauled in just a ton of compost from a local farmer. I mean, just in a space where I have, well, last year we had a bed. We had 10 rows that are 100 feet long and 30 inches wide. And I probably put in maybe 30 yards of compost. And part of that was it really needed the nutrients. It even more so needed the organic matter to support growing crops.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to get the microbiology kind of jump started, but I also needed the beds to be raised up a little bit, because I knew that our field in general is just kind of wet. I mean, it's fairly flat. There's a gradual slope. The water just sits in the slightly low spots where it's like an inch lower over here, over there, there's puddles. So I wanted to be able to get my crops up out of the ground, but not super high. So like, that's the kind of beauty of it, is I don't need, you know, 2 foot tall rows. They just need to be up, you know, 3 or 4 inches taller. And that's enough to kind of slough off the water so it doesn't sit in standing water.
Wow. What, I just am full of admiration for your work and you're just going with it. You know, I just think you're doing it. We're running out of time quickly, but I just want to ask, like, do you have an official name for your farm? Do you have a website? Do you want to bring people to your farm or your website?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do tours all the time. People are super curious. We're the first certified naturally grown farm in the state of Minnesota. So that's actually brought a lot of interest in people wanting to just check out, like looking at our veggies and how do we grow and things like that. So we're always happy to give farm tours.
Wait, now let's back up just 1 second, because I want to make sure I understand that you did not say organic. You said naturally grown. What does that mean?
Yeah, I can explain that. To answer your other question, though, our farm is Soulfed Farm, S-O-L-F-E-D, and it's soulfedfarm.com is our website if people want to check it out. But the certified naturally grown, if I can do this really quick for you.
I know, I'm sorry to ask you such a big question at the end of the interview.
No, that's totally fine. I looked at getting an organic certification, and it was a twofold issue that I had with it. One is how expensive and labor intensive the paperwork is for someone who, like us, who, I mean, I'm a single farm owner. It's just me out there doing this.
Right. And I get it.
And so, yeah, and the paperwork to do something like this on a scale where I'm growing 40 or 50 different types of crops, the paperwork piles up quickly. Organic certification through the USDA is designed for medium to large scale farms that do monocultures or maybe two crops. So they're corn and soybean farmers, or I only grow lettuce, or I only grow strawberries, and I grow hundreds of acres of it. So the paperwork process is fairly easy. It's also a couple $1,000 every year to get certified. And, and even though there are some grant programs out there, that's not guaranteed. And the other big issue I had with it is that even if I was certified organic, I could still do practices in my garden that I felt were not great for the environment. So we really focus on soil health. We really focus on like carbon sequestration, things like that. And none of that is addressed in organic certification.
Right.
And I think it's just that we haven't educated consumers very well. And I didn't know until I really started looking into it either. So I found another, like an alternative program called Certified Naturally Grown. And they follow all the same organic standards that the USDA asks you to follow, except the paperwork is not an enormous headache for small growers like me, where I'm doing this all by myself. And the fee is not an enormous headache either.
Yeah.
It's peer-to-peer reviewed, so you ask other farmers who are certified or who follow the same practices to certify you. And they don't certify you, but they come out and do they're the eyes on the ground that do the inspection and make sure, like, okay, they look at my seed packets. They look at what inputs I put in my field. They look at the plants that I'm starting, my growing mediums, all of that stuff. And then when they certify you, you still have to follow all the same standards, but they also put a pretty heavy focus on things like soil health and crop rotation and no-till practices and things that I felt like really mattered. And so that's why we decided to go that route. And then I've just been like pushing a lot of farms around here to like, okay, you guys got to check this out, because it just seems to make so much more sense for smaller farmers. But it really, the USDA certification kind of speaks for itself. If you look at like the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's website, they list absolutely nobody in St. because we're in St. Louis County technically. So they list absolutely no farm in the state of St. or in St. Louis County that's certified organic. I know for sure there's one.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of farmers that say, yeah, we're organic, but they're not actually certified. And so that the
right.
name or the word organic is a regulated term. And so I hate when people ask that because it's like, well, we use organic practices, we follow the same thing, but we're not certified.
Yeah, no, I think many consumers are getting more and more sort of just aware and educated about that. It totally sounds like what you have is the wave of the future. And I'm so glad that there is an alternative that has cropped up that's not nothing. And it's maybe much more to the point and less bureaucratic. But Liz,
yeah,
we are totally out of time. So thank you so much. This has been really fun and informative. And I hope to have you on again soon.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Liz Strohmeyer. She is a new organic, not organic, whatever that word was, a new farmer doing wonderful things up in the Clover Valley area.